Hello and welcome to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. My name is Becca Dukes-Kozak. We come to you bringing information that is empowering, that gives you tools in your toolbox to be able to choose what direction in life you want to go. And this evening, we are very honored to have with us Dr. Tarma Fleming, a transformation specialist. She's a certified life coach, speaker, author, licensed professional counselor, and licensed minister. Now, with all those titles, she is also the founder of the Woman I Am community and the I Am Whole Spiritual Empowerment Center, which I'm really excited to be able to share some information about those two organizations that she has created with you. She trains men and women how to be leaders in showing up as the solution, as it aligns with the principles of the Christian faith. And I absolutely love solutions because so many people dwell on problems, Dr. Fleming, and I love the fact that you are training people to show up as the solution, not with just with solutions, but as the solution. So welcome to Better by the Minute Life with Becca.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Well, first, share with us a little bit about the two communities that you have created, the Woman I Am community and I Am Whole Spiritual Empowerment Center. And why did you create them? Did you see a gap that needed to be filled?
Okay. In 2015, in the midst of being director of outpatient services for a local mental health facility, and I was the supervisor for five counties for all the directors, therapists, mental health technicians, case managers, school counselors, anything that had to do with outpatient services, I was their boss for five counties. And in the midst of that, God called me to himself to a higher purpose. And in that, he began to deal with me about ministering to people of faith, that it was so different. The empowerment is much different than what we received just in everyday empowerment, and about biblical empowerment and empowering people to show up in the best version of who they are, as you said, as the solution, because Jesus, when he came forward, he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so as representatives of Christ, as ambassadors of Christ, I feel that we need to show up as the way, the solution, the truth, the life. And so God called me to this. He fine-tuned that, that purpose. And I Am Whole Spiritual Empowerment Center was birthed as an online platform that offers Christian counseling, coaching, seminars, conferences, workshops, and mostly online training courses that has to do with wholeness, biblical empowerment, showing up in the best version of who you are. And the Woman I Am community was a spinoff of the I Am Whole Spiritual Empowerment Center because I wanted to have space just for women, influential women, women in leadership, so that we can share, because I had been so impacted from women sharing their stories, and I wanted a safe place for just for women. So it was a spinoff of I Am Whole Spiritual Empowerment Center to create a space just for women. So I'm super excited about those visions, and I Am Whole, I have a super vision for a physical location that I'm just waiting on God to bring that to pass. But right now I am just so honored and blessed to serve God's people through online courses and everything that the center offers.
Well, that's awesome. I love being part of the Woman I Am community. And what about Tea with Dr. T? I love it.
Yeah, as I said earlier, you know, there were conversations that I would listen in on a free conference calling and, you know, webinars, and I would listen to women share their stories. And it impacted my life so much because I was like, wow, you know, first of all, I realized I'm not alone in a lot of things that I have experienced. And then I found the language to really express what was in my heart. You know how you say, I can't quite put my finger on what's bothering me, like what's eating Gilbert Grape, right? And I would hear these women sharing their story and I would go, wow, that's it. What she just said right there, that's exactly how I'm feeling. And I realized that when women of faith and, you know, influential women get together, their conversation is different. And I wanted to share that space with other women because it was so impactful for my life. And so not only did we have the Woman I Am community, and by the way, we say the Woman I Am in lieu of I Am Woman, because we wanted to put the focus on the woman being in the image of God, the woman I am. And so, you know, more than just the space that I wanted to have where I actually talk to these women, where we get together and we share our stories. So Tea with Dr. T, Conversations That Matter, we do it pretty much weekly. It is via Zoom, and we get together and we have unscripted conversation with influential women, women in leadership, or just your everyday woman. You know, your everyday woman is special and can be powerful. You don't have to have a title to be powerful for the Lord.
I completely agree with that. And I'm going to repeat that. You do not have to have a title to be powerful for the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I mean, there's so many different walks of life that we're reaching right now. And every single one of us have a purpose. Some of us have not found that and discovered that purpose yet. But one thing that I love about your community is that it brings to light the different things that different people are doing that might turn and flip that switch for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on with us here on Better by the Minute Life with Becca, because you are exposing us to possibilities that help to build that Better by the Minute Life. So I'm excited that you were able to make some time for us and do this interview. So thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Share with us how we can connect with you. And we're going to share this again later, but what's the best way to connect with you, Dr. Fleming?
Okay. So my email is Dr. Tarma Lashay, Lashay, Tarma Lashay Fleming, Fleming, at gmail.com for booking purposes, or if you want counseling services or coaching services, you can email me there. My Facebook page for I Am Whole Spiritual Empowerment Center is Dr. Tarma Fleming. Dr. T.L. Fleming is the URL for that. And the Woman I Am community is a Facebook community group. You can request to join. It is a private group, and you just make a request to join that group. And also a Clearview Counseling Services, LLC, is the Facebook page for my licensed practice that I have in the state of Alabama.
All right, perfect. And for everybody that's listening, I will have these on my website, betterbytheminutelife.com. Go to guests, and under guests, you'll see a beautiful picture of Dr. Fleming, and you can click on that picture and get information about her and how to contact her and get yourself involved in some of these amazing communities and lectures that she has scheduled, bringing them to us as a whole in building a community.
Thank you, Dr. Fleming.
You're very welcome. May was Mental Health Awareness Month, and I know that you had a seminar on mental health, but for myself, I believe all year long, we need to be intentional in supporting mental health.
Amen. So one would only need to turn on the TV to understand that that's so true.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, turning on that TV, do you think that is more of a positive or negative impact when it comes to mental health?
It depends. It depends on the person. You know, for some people, it can be overwhelming. It can lead to anxiety, you know, very stressed. It can be stressful for them. And stressors can trigger symptoms for persons with mental illness. And so it can be a strain on our mental health. So you want to practice self-care and know your limitations. You know, self-awareness is everything. So when you know your limitations, you know how much you can engage in those things that can possibly create distress for you.
And what can we do intentionally for self-care? Now, I know that there's a difference between taking care of yourself because of mental illness, but then there's mental health that applies to everybody.
Yes. Yes, our mental health is just our emotional, psychological, or social well-being that affects how we think, feel, or act. So taking care of our mental health through self-care will afford us the ability to be more resilient in life, to show up in the best version of who we are. It helps us to handle stress in a more proactive way, in a healthier way, to respond to life in lieu of reacting to life. And so taking care of your mental health is very, very important. And it involves self-care. Now, self-care is doing all of those things that are intentionally that improves your spirit, your soul, your body care. It involves, for example, for spirit care, you could do those things that align to your core beliefs and values and your religious or spiritual beliefs. Prayer, spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting and meditation and even just feeling connected and taking a walk, you know, doing a nature walk. It involves soul care. Now, the soul care part is the part where most people come to therapy for, you know, like I have a heartache or I've gone through a traumatic experience, a negative life experience, or I'm trying to adjust to life's challenges. And most people come to therapy for that soul care area. So taking care of your soul involves like releasing all of those things that no longer serve us, you know, like toxic emotions, resentment, bitterness, envy, unforgiveness, all those works of the flesh that the Bible talks about. It's releasing those in those toxic states of being, depression, anxiety, releasing or either learning how to manage your emotions and to manage those states of being such or disorders such as depression, anxiety, and replacing it with, in the counselor world, we say positive affirmation, positive self-talk, you know, empowerment, and in biblical believer language, we say replace it with the life that's found in the word of God. For me, it's important to do both, And then of course, body care, being intentional about taking care of your temple that God has given you, creating a healthier lifestyle through eating properly, exercising, and doing those things. Yes, most people think of self-care as, you know, going to get my massage, my hair, my nails done, you know, and it does involve that, but self-care is so much more. We are tripartite beings. We are spirit, soul, and body, and it involves taking care of all those, the spirit, the soul, and the body.
I love that. And yeah, I mean, the nails, the massage, the hair, all yeah. that stuff. Those are niceties that, ladies, we deserve. Mm-hmm. But we also need to make sure that we are very intentional on our mental self-care also. Mm-hmm. Now, before we started here, you were talking about the difference between having a mental illness and mental health. Share with us a little bit about the differences.
Well, when you're taking care of your mental health, you are being intentional about self-care, you know, and you may do that meditation or nature walk or journal writing or doing those things to manage your emotions. But when it comes to mental illness and taking care of your mental illness, it's more of a treatment regime for mental illness. It can involve medications, following your treatment plan, specialized doctors and psychiatrists. It may even include hospitalization when it's warranted, when you're in crisis. So taking care of a mental illness, a disorder, a condition that affects how you think, feel, and behave is different than self-care. Now, taking care of your mental illness could involve self-care, and self-care can make a difference, but it doesn't treat mental illness. So that's the difference.
Now, when we are working with or experiencing rather mental illness, what are some of the most important things that we need to not overlook?
When it comes to treating mental illness?
When it comes to treating mental illness. So put your professional counselor, you know, hat on. And when you're working with somebody that has mental illness, what are some of the things that you do? I can see you having a very unique approach to this with lots of compassion, especially as a woman of faith in mental illness, because it is real.
It is real. I believe that, first of all, understanding that every person is different. Therefore, in treating a mental illness, we have an individualized treatment plan for each person. So there's not one formula for each person. There's an individualized treatment plan that includes medication compliance. If the client takes medications, it includes a Malua treatment regime, staff involved, support for that client. Just giving overall support, having a support network for that client, and also understanding that I include self-care and I include empowering that client to understand who they are in Christ. I am a Christian counselor, so my principles, my faith is very, very important to me, and I impart that to my client. But in understanding treating mental illness, we understand based on their diagnosis, which direction to go, evidence-based practices. We include those in their treatment regimes. So it's just very individualized. There's not like a overall one formula that we use for all clients, but it is individualized. But it can include therapy. It can include medications. It can include teaching them psychoeducation, teaching them how to manage their stressors. Stressors can trigger their mental health symptoms. So it's very important that they learn how to manage their stress. So it can include teaching them stress management, all kind of positive coping skills that we teach them. We teach them how to be productive citizens, because just because you have a mental illness does not mean that you can't live a fulfilling, productive life. In fact, in the early part of my career, I worked as director of a day treatment program, and I would always start off my group therapy by bringing out this thick D-ring book of famous people with mental illness to remind them that just because you have an illness, it does not mean that you're stupid, that you're not intelligent, that you cannot have a productive, fulfilling life. If you learn how to manage your symptoms, manage the stresses in your life, follow your treatment regime, whatever it is, individualized for you, you can live a productive life.
Absolutely. Now, for family members of somebody with mental illness, and even if it's in the early stages of mental illness, what are some of the things that we can do to maybe eliminate triggers?
So, I definitely encourage my clients to educate their significant others, their circle, right? To educate their family members so that the family members know how to support them in times of crisis in everyday life, you know, just knowing how to support them. One of the things that I often share is that I have a relative that has a mental illness. And ever since I was a little girl, I knew I wanted to go into the field of psychology because I wanted to understand like why sometimes she looked like a zombie, you know, and why was she acting the way she was acting? Was she just being mean or could she snap out of it? Or what was the issue? And when I started going to school for it, I could educate my family to say, hey, no, you cannot tell her not to take her medications. It's very important. It's part of her treatment regime to be compliant with her medications. And if you feel like the medications are creating side effects or creating unwanted effects for her, then these are the things that you communicate with your doctor. You share that I'm experiencing this, and you share whether or not you feel like the medication is working, if it's addressing the symptoms that she's having. You don't just tell her not to take her medications. You don't tell her to snap out of it. It's an illness. The same way a person with diabetes, if they're having, you know, a diabetic reaction, coma, or, you know, sometimes people that are diabetics do experience hallucinations and delusions if their sugar gets really low. You don't tell them to snap out of it. Stop having a diabetic episode. You don't tell them that. And we don't tell them to snap out of it. It's not like they're doing it on purpose, like they can control it. And so I learned, you know, to share with my family that it's important that we understand what her symptoms are, what her treatment regime is, and really get educated about the myths associated with mental illness. For example, in the church community, you know, they think all mental illness is about having a demon. You know, everything is not about having a demon. And, you know, that they can snap out of it, that they can't live a productive life, that they can't serve in ministry. And that's not true. And so all of those myths associated with mental illness, I was able to educate my family so that we can better support her and make decisions that were in the best interest of her instead of what was in the best interest for us.
Dr. Fleming, I am so glad that you brought that up because too many times we forget about what's in the best interest of others as we're trying to get them to mold to what our life is, what our narrative is, how we think that they should be with or without mental illness. It doesn't matter. And many times we forget that it does matter. It really does matter when it comes to people as individuals. I love the fact that you had really put an emphasis on people as an individual and what's going to work best for them as far as a plan when it comes to addressing mental illness. It is time for a break. You are listening to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. When we come back, we will be talking about the 7 rules of life. These are things that you can do right where you're at, anywhere that you go, to create a more positive environment, not just for yourself, but for those around you. Again, you are listening to KSCO 1080 AM Santa Cruz. We will be right back with Better by the Minute Live with Becca. And welcome back to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. Again, my name is Becca Dukes Prozac, and I absolutely love being able to bring to you empowerment because, folks, we do not have to be stuck where we're at. If you have a goal, if you have a dream, it takes writing it down, setting intentions on meeting that dream. And our guest this evening is an amazing professional counselor, life coach, author, speaker, and licensed minister, most of all, transformation specialist. Dr. Tarma, I appreciate you so much. Let's talk about some rules of life. Now, on your group, you had posted a meme that really caught my attention. 7 rules of life. When people think of rules, they think of not having choices, not being able to have free speech or wanting to balk the system because of the rules. But These are rules that are so simple. Most of them are simple. Let's go ahead and go through these rules and how they can make such a significant yet positive impact in our lives that we can do on our own in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, smile. Some people think that's so hard. You know, we overlook the importance of smile. Share with us a little bit about what a smile does.
Yeah, a smile can lift your spirit. I mean, it puts you in your happy place. It takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. And it definitely can, you know, what we are thinking influences how we feel. And then how we feel in turn influences how we show up and interact in life, you know, what we do. And so when we smile, it fosters positive thoughts that influences how we feel and in turn how we show up. And as the meme says, it always works out in the end. We can smile. And I love that because as believers, the word of God says all things. That means A-L-L, everything, the good and the bad, works together for our good. And so we already have the victory. Sometimes when we hit that home run, we have to run the bases, right? But we already have the victory. So we can go ahead and smile because the battle has already been won and it works out in the end on our behalf. So smile, be happy, don't worry.
Well, and I think it's so important to be able to share that smile.
Yes, yes. Early in life, I found that it was very impactful. I love to smile. And I used to get a lot of compliments. You have a beautiful smile. You smile all the time. People call me sunshine. And I was like, why? You know, and I realized that I was smiling a lot and I was trying to smile through my pain too. And I realized how it helped me on some dark days to just put on my happy face and understand, embrace that I have the victory through Christ and smile. And I realized how impactful it was for other people, you know, to just put on a smile. People can be having a bad day, going through something, and you show up and you smile and light up their whole world and make a difference in their lives. A smile goes a long way. Think about it. If you went through a drive-through for food, you know, and the cashier was mean mugging you, that would make your experience not pleasant at all, you know. But when you have a cashier that smiles and greets you, it puts you in your happy place. Not to mention you're about to eat your favorite food.
Absolutely. Then your smile might be the only smile somebody else sees.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we used to have a saying in church, be careful how you live. You might be the only Bible some people read. And that's so true. Your smile might be the only smile that other people get that day. You know, you never know.
And that leads right into the second one. Be kind.
Be kind. You have the power to make people feel good. be kind. I mean, if we had a little bit more love in the world today, come on, what a difference this world would be. Just as impactful as a smile to be kind in everyday life to people. We're called to be kind. We're called to serve God's people and to be a light, a city that cannot be hid. And part of being that light is being kind, being smile, being merciful, being loving to God's people. So kindness goes a long way as well. Just showing a gesture of kindness can impact someone else in a positive way, in a powerful way. You know, you ever been in a line and drive through and you get there and they say, hey, the person ahead of you just paid for your meal. And that gesture just makes your whole day. I know I have cried because some, you know, people don't know that, you know, you might have been having a hard time and I've been the recipient of that. And I've tried to do it myself to, you know, pay it forward. But being kind can definitely be impactful to someone to put them in their happy place.
Well, and it could be just as simple as opening the door for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. People that are working service jobs, you know, I try to tell them, you're doing a great job, you know, thank you. Or, you know, you smell nice, or your hair looks pretty today. You know, you just never know how impactful it can be to be kind.
Absolutely. And for those that are in a position of service, and that's their job to help. Well, mm-hmm. folks, we don't have to be paid to be kind.
Yes, absolutely.
Every day, take a minute, look up from that phone as you're walking through.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just swinging up in the door for yourself, if there's somebody around you, hold it open for them. Let mm-hmm. them go first. I mean, it's really simple to be kind.
Yeah. And being kind can be part of your self-care regime. You know, being kind, volunteering, serving is definitely a part of your self-care regime to do what truly what makes your soul happy. And so it can be part of your self-care regime too.
And you might be the only person that's been nice to that other person that day mm-hmm. or that week.
Mm-hmm. So you have the power.
That's right. You have the power to make people feel good.
Yes.
Number three, don't give up.
If it doesn't work the first time, find another way. I love the saying that rejection is direction. You know, that you don't give up. I heard, I don't know how true it is, but I heard for the Kentucky Fried Chicken man that he got 1,000 no's before he got his first yes on his recipe for his chicken. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, most of us after the fifth or sixth time may have said, well, forget it. This is not my purpose. You know, let's go another way, another direction. But, you know, find another way, you know, especially if you feel like this is God's will for my life and you're going forward in the things of God. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your life goals. You know, the same kindness and grace that we extend to others, we have to extend it to ourselves. We have to be a friend to ourselves. We have to empower ourselves. And so we have to empower ourselves to not give up, as well as encouraging and being kind to others to not give up.
I'm a true believer that not giving up on somebody else gives them the will to keep trying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's so many people that have given up and everybody around them have given up on them too. Mm-hmm. But it can take just that one person to say something kind, to smile and tell them that they believe in them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's nothing like feeling supported, you know, having a support network. And first and foremost, I tell myself that God is for me, that he's supporting me 100%, that he has my back 100%. But sometimes it takes someone else reminding you of that, reminding you of who you are and that, you know, you are supported. You are part of a family. You are accepted in the beloved. And there is, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, there is an expected end for you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And so keep going. Don't give up.
Yeah. I love that, how the Bible gives us, you know, direction in so many different ways.
Yes. Like, I thank God that Jesus didn't give up. Oh, I think after they started calling me heretic and Beelzebub and child of the devil and spitting on me, I might have gave up. I don't know. You know, so I think about that and I'm so glad that he didn't give up, you know.
Amen. Amen to that. And I love the fact that the tagline for Don't Give Up includes, if it doesn't work the first time, find another way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's so many different ways to do things in life that if one way is not working, make some little changes, make some big changes.
Yeah. They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, right? And so sometimes instead of trying to make one way better, you have to do something different. You have to find another way. So I love that as well.
Yeah. And then number four, and I think this is something that many of us are very guilty of and might play a huge factor into number three, don't compare.
Ooh, that's a good one. We say comparisonitis is a disease. It is treatable.
Yes, and I'm so thankful that it's treatable.
Yeah, everybody's on a different journey, you know, and God made us so unique that no one else in the whole wide world has our DNA. And we're designed to stand out, to be unique, to be different. And so when you start comparing your life to someone else's, you know, it can create a whole host of negative emotions, negative self-talk, because you're comparing yourself to something that's not possibly meant to be part of your journey. You know, maybe it's not meant for you to go that path the way that person went, but this is the path that you're supposed to be on. And so I learned early on, don't compare, because you never know where they are on their journey. Like if they started yesterday, like you're comparing, you just started and you're looking at somebody that's just been doing it for 20 years. Come on. You know, you've got some time. You got to put some time in and you've got to do whatever it takes to get to your goal. But when people compare their lives to other people that may have been doing it much longer or are supposed to be on that path and you're supposed to be on a different path, it can create distress for you if you comparing yourself to someone else.
And I believe that with social media, there's more comparing going on. And we need to remember that the people that we're following on social media, they may not be showing the whole picture and only the picture that they want you to see.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So being very careful to not compare yourself to the picture somebody wants you to see instead of the whole picture is so important.
Yeah. In fact, you know, as part of our training, we were talking about cyberbullying and suicide attempts. You know, back in the day, we may have the neighbor, the person across the street, you know, school. But today we have thousands and thousands and thousands of opinions that we're processing every day. And we compare ourselves, you know, in that context with all those thousands and thousands of opinions. And like you said, what we're seeing may not even be true. And we're comparing ourselves to something that may not even be true. And so it becomes imperative that we align to our core beliefs and values. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is my example. And that's the example I follow, you know, and I go within to find what I need, my love, my joy, my peace, my validation, my affirmation that I need. I don't look on social media and compare myself to what other people are doing. I listen to my Father's voice, reference the path that I'm supposed to be on, what is for my life, what is meant to be for my life. A lot of times in therapy, we talk about the should box versus the meant to be box. And in the should box is all the you should have, you should be doing by now. It's all the societal norms and opinions of the world, even your own inner critic. But in the meant to be box, it's who you're meant to be, what you're meant to have, what God's original intention for your life. And finding that space comes from going within and seeking God's affirmation, validation, and everything that he has for your life, because he's already given you all things that leads to life and godliness. And so if we can tap into that instead of comparing ourselves to people on social media, we'll live a much happier life.
Oh, absolutely. And you were talking about those two boxes, the should have and the meant to be. I mean, you're looking at judgment and the freedom to be.
Yes, yes. There's so much freedom in that, and who you're meant to be and what you're meant to have, and being content in all things. And rather than I should, you know, at 25, I looked at my life and said, oh my God, I'm not married. I should get married. I'm going to be an old maid, you know, and that thinking, I ended up getting married the first time, where I really wasn't in that space, really didn't want to get married. And I married the person that the church like kind of married me, and it lasted 7 years, but you know, it wasn't who I was meant to have. And my husband, now we've been married 20 years and God sent him. And so when you start comparing your life and going by those opinions, all of that mental chatter of the world, you can find yourself in situations or circumstance that you regret later in life.
I know that one for a fact. A few facts, actually. But we're not going to dwell on those, because we're going to move right on into number five.
Yeah, we're going to smile right through that and be kind. We're going to avoid negativity, right?
That's right.
Number five.
Number five, avoid negativity.
Yes.
Yeah, and who we surround ourselves with helps us in being able to avoid negativity.
Can control that, do control that. But what I love about God is that God doesn't always change the chaos around us. He changes us. He changes the way we see ourselves. We see ourselves as the Father sees us. And he changes the way we show up and interact in life so that we can respond instead of reacting to life and create healthier interactions. And so you end up having joy in the midst of the storm, peace in the midst of the storm. So in the midst of all this negativity, you know, you can learn to tap, go within and experience joy and peace in the midst of that. But as much as you can, you want to put those negative thoughts in check, because as we said earlier, your thoughts influence how you feel, and how you feel determine how you show up. So you definitely want to avoid negative thinking. Stinking thinking is what we call it, too. Situations and people as much as possible. Now, always, always check your thoughts, but the situations and people, the chaos around us, we don't always have control of that. So we can learn how to have joy in the midst of that. But your thought life is something you definitely want to learn how to challenge any negative thoughts that come up, because it's going to affect how you feel. In fact, on my refrigerator, I have a little card that says, "Who told you that?" So if I walk by my refrigerator and I'm feeling some type of way, you know, I'm putting my thoughts in check. It reminds me to challenge any negative self-talk and replace it with the life that's found in the Word of God, with positive self-talk.
And there's so many positive affirmations that we can pull from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You can make positive affirmations out of everything. You know, I told someone that I was counseling that had a new position on a job, and she was feeding herself negative self-talk about her ability to carry out her new position. And I shared with her, you know, if you didn't have the skill and ability, they would not have given you the promotion. So I want you to take your job performance evaluation and look at the things that they're rating you on, and look at your job description and make affirmations from that. I have the ability to lead blah, 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 or whatever that is on her job description or her performance evaluation, she can make positive affirmations to keep telling herself, I have this ability. I have the skills for this position. So yes, affirmations are powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it's important to have those affirmations visible, where you don't have to go looking for them.
Yes.
They're in a spot that you go every single day.
Mm-hmm.
As you're walking past.
Yes.
I have a few signs that mm-hmm. have different affirmations on them that just help keep me in check, like yours, who told you that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those little things that you can do for yourself
mm-hmm.
can be so impactful. Now, number six is a big thing that I had slap me in the face. Let's be real here. Make peace with your past.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. many times, you know, there's things that we had control over or didn't have control over, you know, actions that have happened in the past, whether it was us ourselves or somebody else that brought an unpeaceful situation.
Mm-hmm.
But today, we can make peace with our past.
Yes. I love that. Make peace with your past. I mean, we all have a story, right? And we can own our truth. We can own our stories. And we can come to a place where we have a story and the story doesn't have us, right? We don't have to be in the prison of our stories. We can, you know, let go. Especially as women, oftentimes we are dwelling on the past, right? Which creates those toxic emotions and toxic states of being, depression, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, or we're either way in the future, way past goal planning and all that. We're dwelling on the future. What if, worrying about what hasn't happened yet, and that creates anxiety and overwhelm. So focus on being present, as it said, focus on being present and creating a better future. Staying present, we enjoy the moments we have every day. We get to practice gratitude and we get to take it one day at a time, breathing and taking it one day at a time. And there are four questions that I ask myself every morning to stay present. And one is, how can I be a better version of myself today than I was yesterday? Not way back 100 years ago when I, you know, made all my mistakes and everything else, but one day at a time, just from yesterday, what can I do better today? How can I be a better version of myself? Two, what can I do today to take care of myself, to make myself a priority? What is one thing I can do? Like the self-care we were talking about earlier, what can I do to take care of myself? Three, what is my God-given assignment for today? Not that overall, you know, purpose everybody has, or, you know, the overall God-given assignment, but what is one small thing that I can do today that relates, that is tied to my God-given assignment? What is it for today? Is it just to pick up the phone and tell someone I love you? Is it just to smile when you're driving through the drive-thru and you hear God say, smile at that person? Is it just to smile at someone? What is my God-given assignment just for today? And then four, how can I be grateful? Or what can I be grateful for? How can I be more grateful? So practicing gratitude and all of those things help me to stay present instead of focusing on shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, the should box from the past, depression and all of that. And focusing so much on the future that I'm in anxiety or overwhelmed. So I'm going to stay present and enjoy my life and enjoy the moment. And the thing about when you do that and you have what we call also a growth mindset and making peace with your past, where you grow from your life experiences, right? Everything has a reason, and that reason is there to serve you. So that when you look back on your journey and you see the good things, and then you see that little spot that could look very cancerous and ugly, but no, when you have a growth mindset and you grow from, there's a little dirt mound with flowers growing out of it. So you look back on your journey and everything on your journey looks good because everything has worked together for your good. So making peace with your past is having that growth mindset of growing from and letting everything that happened serve you and being present every day.
Absolutely. So many times we dwell on the past and we hold ourselves hostage.
Yes. Yes. Your story begins to have you big time.
Yeah.
Get into people prison. Yes.
So the question is, do you want to keep that story and stay in bondage or make peace with your past?
Absolutely. Yeah. Change the narrative, you know, to where you are victorious in that story. You know, every test is for a testimony, mess for a message, misery for ministry. We have the victory in all things, you know, and turning it around, changing the narrative where it serves us, helps us to make peace with your past.
I know so many different aspects in my life. The tests that I've been through are all part of my testimony today.
So. Yes.
Number 7, which we've spoken a little bit about this, and it's so worth bringing it up again because so many people just don't take the time, don't feel they're worthy, I don't know. They're always putting everybody's self, especially us as women. We're taking care of others and not taking care of ourselves as well. And 7 is take care of your body and mind.
Absolutely. You know, we have to take care of ourselves. You know, I used to hear that and I just think self-care is selfish, just like a lot of people do. Even on the airplane, they would say, put the oxygen mask on yourself before you put it on anyone else. And I thought, man, you know, because I was so busy taking care of everybody and everything around me that I put myself on the back burner. But one day I read the scripture that says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I go, wait a minute, even God says you to put yourself first. You can't love your neighbor. You loving your neighbor the way you love yourself. So you got to love yourself and put yourself first. And so it became a matter of obedience for me to align it to my core beliefs and values. Then I became more intentional about self-care and I didn't see it as selfish because I realized that the greatest gift that I could give to myself and other people was my wholeness, you know, to show up in the best version of who I am, to show up as the solution, to show up in whole, complete, and lacking nothing. So taking care of your spirit, soul, and body promotes wholeness. It helps you to interact in life in a healthier way. And I always say they're so connected. The spirit, soul, and body are so connected. And so taking care of your body and your mind and your spirit, I want to add that, is important to do it all simultaneously, you know.
I totally agree. Dr. Fleming, thank you so very much.
God bless you. Thank you so much. And thank you for the work that you do, because you do so much. But thank you for your service to God's people.
Another Better by the Minute Life with Becca. Visit my website, betterbythemintelife.com. Go to guests. You'll see the replays for all of our past shows and information on how you also can get connected. KSCO 1080 AM listeners, have a fabulous week. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.